all of us are learning something, I hope, this week. And I hope people are getting encouraged to realize that there are many of us out there that are living with vision loss, and that there's just about, you know, you can do anything you truly want to do, and we really believe that. So try and spread your wings, and I hope you take some of the suggestions you've heard so far and use them. Tomorrow we'll wrap up with a wrap-up session at 1 o'clock Eastern time, and this would be the opportunity for you to share some of the things that you might have tried this week or recently, or things that you've discovered that you can do. And you might also want to comment about any questions that you still might have about something maybe that we didn't cover. So we will try to answer your questions, and we'll have a wrap-up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. But right now, it's time for Glenn Crosby, who you met this afternoon, and Judy Sanders, and they're going to do a what-if seminar.
Now, who's
so,
the
folks, take it away. Judy Sanders and Glenn Crosby.
Oh, Judy.
Thank you. Glenn, are you there? Well, he wasn't kidding before when he said he wasn't going to show up. If you can unmute Glenn, guys, can you unmute him if he did?
Yeah, we're working on it.
I just tried to unmute him.
So
I asked him to unmute.
This is our first what if. Our first what if scenario is going to be, what are we going to do if Glenn doesn't come on the call? Oh, dear. All right. While we're waiting for him, this worked so well yesterday. Everybody get ready. I'm going to set another alarm for my Lady A.
Am I on now or not?
Yes.
Oh, Glenn. Yay. All right. But first, I'm going to set an alarm, and I'm going to set it. It's 3 o'clock here or whatever it is. In Minnesota. So I'm going to set an alarm for 3:55, and then we're going to know that we have to stop talking about whatever we're finishing up. Alexa, set an alarm.
Alarm for what time?
3:55 p.m.
Alarm set at 3:55 p.m.
Okay, now we can do this. So, Glenn.
Yes, here I am.
You live in Texas.
I
know
do.
Because you admitted to that. But you have not always lived in Texas. And one of the things that I know about you that most of these people probably don't is that you actually lived in South Dakota. And do they have snow in South Dakota?
There was plenty of snow in South Dakota when we were there, I'll tell you that.
So we've been asked during the week, what if there's a snowstorm? And what if you are not used to it? What are some hints for snowstorms?
Well, the question I think that was asked earlier is if you have to be out and walk in it. And so I have walked in heavy, thick snow. I try to avoid not going out into the storm itself, but I will say to anybody who hasn't had the opportunity to walk in snow, that doesn't matter how deep it is. It could be a very light snow. The acoustics are totally different than normal. So that's the first thing you can expect. It isn't, at least it wasn't my experience, that it's automatically quieter. As a matter of fact, sometimes the wind is blowing quite hard. And it can be noisy, but it's a different type of noise, and you can't rely on your normal sound feedback. But when I had to walk in the snow, it was probably, I don't know, more than a foot deep for sure. It wasn't up to my waist or anything, but it was deep enough. And what I did, I used my cane. I kept it at a walking angle, but probably a little steeper than what I normally use when I walk with my cane. And I would always push it through the snow and try to find solid ground. If however, in that attempt, I encountered something that I didn't know or didn't feel like a regular sidewalk or whatever, I would then put my cane upright, as was explained earlier in the week, and do some probing, just straight down. And usually it would take more than one attempt, but if you do it, you know, if you work at it, you can kind of figure out what's under there, if it's something you want to walk over or attempt to walk over or not. And so I managed that pretty well. I will say this, I probably cheated some, and I did this way. After the snow plows would come through very early in the morning, and on streets where traffic would allow it, in other words, where there was no traffic, I simply walked in the streets, keeping the snow banks close to my side.
I like that. Because that way you're staying near the side of the road, you know, right by the sidewalk, as close as you can get to it. I have had adventures in the snow in Minnesota. And I remember one time when I first, especially when I first moved here, I took some getting used to. And they would stack the snow up along the sidewalk, and occasionally they would clear a spot so that you could get through, but it sometimes seemed to me that I couldn't find it. And I live in downtown Minneapolis, and a lot of buses come by here, which is great for public transportation, but I learned when I first moved here that I had to come out of my apartment building, and usually I could walk down the driveway and I could jaywalk and do it safely across the street when there was no snow and be very close to my bus stop, which was in the middle of the block. But when the snow started getting deeper and deeper, I discovered that I had to climb over the snowbank sometimes to get to it. And one time somebody in my apartment building said, I was watching you climb over that snowbank and I didn't know if I should try and run out and help you. She was watching me from her window. So, you know, we have adventures, and the big reason that what ifs work is if we consider life an adventure, one big adventure. And as we come across a what if, we just have to think it out. And if we can brainstorm with somebody, then it might get even easier. But there usually has to be a way, and we have to find it. This is a time when if people want to start raising their hands now, especially if you have a what if situation that you want to explore. And I know I mentioned to Camilla, if you're listening, if you want to try again with your technology example, but tell us specifically what it was you were trying to accomplish where they said you had to have technology. Because if there's anything Glenn and I know, it's how to avoid having technology.
Someone mentioned using technology to locate items on the floor the other day. And one low technology that I use is I will put my cane flat down on the floor and gently move it in an arc. And if it contacts an item, I can hear it. And all I have to do is move my hand along the cane and I can grasp it and do whatever I want to with it. So that really does help a lot when you drop an ice cube on the floor or something like that. Because it's been my experience, if you chase it, you'll kick it somewhere and it'll really go off somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, Camilla's unmuted.
Okay. That's interesting to do with an ice cube. I usually let them melt.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine did that the other day and fell down and injured her knee bad enough. She had to go to the hospital.
Oh, dear. Maybe I better stop doing that. Okay. Did you say Bill?
Miss Camille is unmuted.
Oh, Camille. Oh, good. All right, Camille. Do you want to – is it Camille or Camilla?
Camilla.
Okay. Camilla, do you want to tell us more about that situation?
Okay. The problem that I'm having, I'm riding a – it's a special bus that takes – people that are elderly or disabled. And because it comes directly to your house, you never know when you're going to arrive at the store. So I can't make an appointment to have someone take me around the store to help me with my grocery shopping. And I only get out twice a month.
Okay.
So the people that are in the Federation, they're using their smartphones and things to be able to read labels on cans and tell what the labels are, the cans are, but I don't have the technology to do that. And a lot of times when I get to the store, there's nobody to help me.
Well, here's, I assume that the bus, does the bus come on a regularly scheduled time, or do you have to reserve it?
Well, you call in, and they kind of get here when they get here. There's a general time when they're supposed to be here, but it can vary. And then it can vary quite a bit when it arrives at the store.
Okay. I'll try, and Glenn, then, if you want to add to it or have a different idea. I don't know the size of the store that you're going to, but you could call them and tell them your problem. Just say, I would like some shopping assistance, but my problem is I can't tell you exactly when I'm going to arrive. You might have an approximation, though, and one of the things they can tell you is what time of day is best for them to give you assistance. I don't think people talk about their technology and reading labels. I don't think that would be an efficient way to shop, even if you could do it, unless you know the store really well and you can at least get to the right counter that you want. That would take forever. I think that's not a good idea with or without that technology, you know, unless you like to explore the store. But that's not a solution. But I think you can work with the store and with the van to give you a better schedule, maybe.
No, you can't. The bus comes when it comes. They only have funding, and they run that day, and they come when they come. And you don't get a choice of when you arrive at the store. It won't. The store having a certain period of time when it's best for them to help me isn't going to work because I can't be there.
Well, but you can talk to them at the store and explain that situation.
Yes.
To see, you know, I mean, they can't just in the, they must be able to come somewhat close, you know, unless they're really.
I agree with Judy that would be my first approach, to talk with the store and explain the situation as Judy described. My backup plan would be simply to try to find a volunteer in the community who could help you with your shopping.
I've tried that. I haven't had any luck, but thank you for the suggestion.
Well, you know, there's not. You might want to try shopping at a different store if the van will go there.
It won't.
It'll go to the one store?
It only goes to Walmart. It's a Walmart supercenter. It goes to Walmart, and then we come home. And it's the only transportation I have.
Now, are you the only one in the van going there?
No. There must be at least six people, or the van doesn't run at all.
Okay. So could you team up with one of the people in the van and say, can we do our shopping together?
Not really. Most of the people in the van, this is the only time they have to shop, too, and we only have about an hour and a half. And you have to get, you know, everything you need. Many of them are elderly, and they don't move too fast. And it's not possible for two people to go together and get enough groceries for both of them.
I could get a lot of groceries in an hour and a half. I don't, if someone were good. I can't believe, though, that Walmart, a big store like that, can't help you. That doesn't make sense.
But didn't it, me either?
Do you go to the customer service desk?
Yes, and I stood there for 10 or 15 minutes waiting, and finally I just had to go and get what I could find. And it's happened, you know, several times.
I'd call and talk to the manager and ask if they can tell you a better way to get service.
Because
that, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. It should be solvable to some degree.
Thank you.
We have three others with hands raised.
Okay.
We have Shelley.
Hi, Shelley. Hello, Shelley.
I asked her to unmute.
Shelley, do your star six thing or your alt Y or your whatever you do.
Alt Y is to raise your hand.
Oh, right. Don't do that.
Alt A, Shelley.
All right. Who else have we got?
There you go. She's unmuted now.
Oh, okay. Good.
Go ahead, Miss Shelley.
Oh, I am unmuted?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't hear it. I apologize. I couldn't hear it say that. I'm really sorry this lady is having so much trouble with Walmart. I was going to use the idea that you just talk to the grocery store, but if it's a Walmart, they really do go to their customer service. They really are supposed to help. And I would think if you could get to a manager, the other solution of having a person, a friend that might be able to go with, or a community member. I like that idea too. The other thing I was thinking is, for the technology of knowing what your cans are, there are these things called magnetic labels that you can put Braille on. It's on a roll like Dymo labeling tape, and they're magnetic, and I have used them a lot. You could put Braille on them if you know Braille, or you could punch out some kind of a symbol for fruit versus something, or put dots on it even, sticky dots. And then you just cut them to whatever size you need, and you can take them to the store and plop them. They're magnetic, so you just plop them right on the top of the can when you get it. Now, and that works for cans. It does not, you'd have to do a different
system. Yeah, her problem is, of course, getting to the can.
Right. And, you know, I'm sorry. So, I guess I was thinking of a solution for a regular grocery store. So, okay, that's it. Thank you.
We have Linda DeBerardinus. Sorry if I don't pronounce your name right. I apologize.
Linda? Linda.
Press star 6. You're unmuted.
Okay.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Following up on what the gentleman said, if I drop something on the floor that I can't find, I use my cane, but I lay the whole thing on the floor, and then I slowly roll it to see, because whatever you drop, it always rolls. You never drop something straight down.
Hey, Glenn, I think isn't that what you were saying you do?
No.
Yes, I put my cane flat on the ground. She rolls hers. I move mine slowly in an arc. But either way, it's the same principle.
It's the same idea, yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right. We have I just muted you. You were already unmuted. Diane McGeorge.
Hey, Diane.
I'm sorry. Please unmute yourself again.
Don't we love technology?
I'm telling you, I was having trouble with that myself a while ago.
Oh, man. We need pigeons that can carry our messages.
I like owls in Harry Potter.
Hey, it worked. It worked.
There you are.
There you go, ma'am.
There you are. All right, thank you all. You know, I have been listening to all of this, and I do grocery shopping once a week, but I do have someone who assists me. Our state, and I don't know how many states have this, quite a few. If you are blind and or also have some hearing difficulties, you can get what's called SST, a service, what is it, support service program. Anyway, that's very good. And I think that's really helpful for older folks like me. Anyway,
it really is. Camilla, you might have to.
Well, you might have to go to, I don't know.
You might have to develop a hearing loss.
don't do that.
No.
The Commission for the Deaf. Here in our state, got that program going.
I think most states have it. Maybe they all do. I don't know.
No,
but
they don't. No, they do not all have
okay.
it.
Okay.
I look well, it, and they don't. However, if you don't have that service, I have never had any problem. I shop in a big supermarket many times by myself, and I just don't have any problem getting help. If I listen, well, of course you can't hear cash registers anymore, even if you've got good hearing, because it'll make any noise anymore.
That's right.
But ask someone, there are always people around, ask someone if they could direct you to a service desk. And when you get to the service desk, you may have to say, good morning, to get somebody's attention, or I'm pretty good about making my presence known if I want help. Do it politely, of course. However, sometimes you have to be a little more assertive, and I think that's a good thing, a good word to use. At any rate, I have had good luck getting assistance. Sometimes you can go to the checker, the checking out people. It's easy to find that line sometimes, fairly easy. And if people are there, I just say, are you in line to check out? And they'll say whatever they say. Yes, I am, usually. And then when I get to that person who's doing a checking out, I say, is there someone available who could assist me doing my grocery shopping? And that also works well, but those are the methods that I have used for years.
Now, that's interesting, Diane, because I don't wait in the checkout line to do that. I go behind it or on the outside.
Judy,
because
would.
I don't want to cut in line, but if I
No. What I do is I find someone in line and I say, you know, I don't mind going in front of somebody to get assistance. See,
Well, it depends on how your store is arranged. For instance, we have a Target that if I walk along this wall, the cashiers are to my right, and the line is beyond that.
Oh, okay.
Because they're coming out. So I'm coming in, but this is where they'll come out. So I can walk and find the cashier and get their attention and say, can you help me get customer service?
Sure.
And they have walkie-talkies, and they can Now, I do have to wait sometimes. The other thought might be, I assume this is a free van, and that is important. If you have a little bit of a budget to do it, and you can take Lyft or Uber, maybe you're better off going without the van. You know, that's another thought. If you can get there without using that van, then your time is your own.
We just had a segment about Alexa, and I don't know if you have one or not, but you can do a fair amount of grocery shopping with Alexa, and it's brought right to your door, and it's pretty convenient, and it doesn't cost any more than shopping at Walmart.
Well, now, this is Diane. Glenn, I'm going to have to call you and find out how to do that, because I do have an Alexa, but I sure don't know how to do
it. It's shopping through Amazon, I think, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
that's fine.
I guess can you do all your groceries with that?
Well, if you like everything that they have on their list, and it's a quite expensive list, of course you can. But, you may want items they don't have.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Will they do perishables?
Yes.
Okay.
In some places, they even have same day.
Yeah, sometimes they do. Well, I'm sure, again, that depends on where you live.
And another thing, you know, we have talked about to use Lyft and Uber. If you don't have an iPhone, and I don't, you can use, and they'll do grocery shopping for you, too, but there's a little bit more of a charge. I don't know how the price would compare with Amazon. But you can use GoGo Grandparents. They will, it's a telephone service that will get your cab for you. But it also will do grocery shopping for you, and it will do now restaurant delivery as well.
Well, this is Diane. However, they are not inexpensive. I was shocked at how much it cost.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long while.
No, I haven't either. I did it once, and that was enough. I'll forget
that. Okay, well, I did, and I've had pretty good luck, and the cabs weren't bad. You know, maybe I was just lucky, or maybe I didn't realize what I was paying for.
Well, I tell you, with cab, a lot of it depends on what you say. You live right downtown, so I'm sure that you have pretty good service. I used to live close to downtown, and we had wonderful service. However, now I live out in Littleton, and it's a whole other story.
Yes, yes. Do we have hands up?
We do. We have two more.
You can stay on, Diane.
I just asked Carol to unmute. Carol Wright.
Carol. Carol. We have a whisperer on the phone.
Go ahead.
Am I there?
You are.
Yes, you are. You're there.
I had a lot of problems. This is Carol from Colorado. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Carol.
I had a lot of problems the other day. I just couldn't get through. I suggest sort of thinking out of the box a little bit. My daughter has a friend who lives in a rural area, and I find people in rural areas have a lot of problems because they don't have all, I mean, I live in Denver, and I've used GoGo Grandparents. It's my last resort.
Yeah,
because it is expensive, but if you have to get from someplace to someplace really fast, you can do it. But one of the suggestions I told my daughter to tell her friend, she's in the rural area, contact churches. Yeah. I mean, I know we don't have, people don't go to church like they used to, but, churches are a good connection. Just that you contact the pastor and say, I have problems. Do you have anybody among your parishioners who would be willing to give me a couple of hours to take me shopping and do some things? Not doing any housework, as Diana says, but, you know, I just can't get around. And, it's amazing. I mean, you might not be able to, you may have to try to several. And then you may, you know, in contacting, but just be persistent and just think, okay, who could help me? Who could help me? What could help me? That would be my suggestion. And it did work for her friend.
You know, Carol, that's a good idea. And the other place, you know, if you're looking for other sources, are college sororities or Delta Gamma.
Oh, yes.
Are often idea. Helpful, and they may be able to get you some assistance.
That's good. Yes, that
we have Mary. Mary Maples.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Mary.
Thank you.
I just asked. You're unmuted, Miss Mary.
Mary, talk to us.
Well, she was unmuted. Cancel.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hi, Judy. This is Mary up north. So, Judy knows I live in a really rural area. It's a forested area. You have my sympathies because I share some of your problems. I also have only a bus with transportation. So one of the things, I've been able to work my situation out, but I'm going to suggest that you phone County Social Services in your...
Uh-oh.
We lost
you. You're breaking up. I don't know if it's the rural thing again, but...
no, she got muted.
Her internet may not be working right or something.
Can
you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It is because I'm in a rural area. We don't have good phone service here either. Okay. So if you phone County Social Services and discuss your problem with them, they may know of a shopper program, because sometimes it won't get you out of the house, but they do have people who they have shop for people who they considered homebound, which means you do not drive a car for yourself, or you're not in town and you can't walk anywhere. The second problem I have is carrying things onto the bus. They want you to bring just maybe only two small items up onto the bus, and it's really hard to do that. So if I'm going to shop and I need to have, say, heavy things like milk and, you know, 5 pounds of flour, sugar, whatever, I will actually save my money and I will have a taxi come, because there's no Uber, there's no Lyft here. We don't have the services that city people have.
Have you ever checked Doors to see if they do deliveries themselves?
Walmart doesn't deliver, and the local grocery store doesn't deliver.
Huh.
Yeah. No, it is rural up here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We just don't have those kinds of services available.
Well, and you know, so maybe high school kids can help too, if they're for a lot less money than a cab, maybe.
Right. I think this is Ruth. I think the more resourceful you can be, you have the problem. How can you solve it instead of wait, you know, maybe thinking somebody else should solve it? You could put notices up or have them put notices up that you need, you know, whatever it is you need. And because part of the reason there aren't services is people don't know that they need to have them. So bringing some things to attention of other people can help solve that situation,
like that.
You know. Because I've had in rural areas, and I've asked some doctors, I said, how do you get your patients to visit you? And they say, we call on other patients to pick them up.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it is, I mean, it is a real problem in the rural area. Also, there is a program nationwide called Meals on Wheels. And in different states, they do different things. Don't just assume that they just deliver food to you like a meal. They can help with shopping and other things.
Huh.
So sometimes find out what your Meals on Wheels or other service organizations can do. And especially with this pandemic, a lot of them are expanding their services, you know, from what they used to do. And the other suggestion, I guess I think I would do, if I were on the van, I'd ask the driver if he or she had a phone. And if we got 20 minutes from the store, I'd say, can you call Walmart and tell them we're coming and I need an assistant? I mean, you know, you use what you have. You know, I mean, it won't hurt them to call and say we're on our way, we're coming.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go. That's a great idea.
That really
it takes a village to solve these what ifs.
We have one more hand raised. It is Helen. Let me.
Glenn, this is yours. Sight unseen.
That's hardly
just ask fair. Unmute. There you go. You are unmuted.
Yes. What if? I don't know how you guys have ever been treated in a restaurant, but I, well, first of all, a lot of people, when they hear that I'm blind, the first thing they say is, I'm so sorry. And I tell them they don't need to be. But we were at a nice restaurant with my former husband, very nice one, expensive. And when the waiter discovered that I was blind, he did that. I'm so sorry. And then after he gave me a menu and I just put it down, and that's when it came up that I was blind. And so he came back to get our order, and he went to turn to my husband and said, what does she want?
Oh, yeah.
My husband laughed. He said, if you think I'm going to answer that question, you're crazy. That happens probably to everyone.
Yeah. So this is a common thing, not just in restaurants, but we will stick with the restaurant scenario. Very often, people who provide services want to talk to a third party if there's a third party available. Hopefully, the third party will always respond similar to what your husband did, which is, in essence, you need to ask that person. In your case, my wife, you know. Ask my wife. That's happened with me a few times. Also, sometimes when that happens, I just speak up. When it comes to the menu thing, I have no problem with asking servers to read the menu. I have no problem with asking the servers if they have, in my case, a Braille menu. Some places do, most places don't. But asking the server to read the menu or asking them for specific items that you might be interested in, that's what they're there for, is to provide service. So that's how I would do that. But in terms of responding to this business of what does he or she want, what do they like, what would they want, this or that, it's always helpful to have a little conversation with that person before you go if it's not somebody close to you, and usually it is. But anyway, if it isn't, be sure that they know not to respond, not to try to order or not to try any of that. Just say, ask them.
Okay. Do we have more hands?
Nope, it appears all clear.
Okay. Yeah,
so we have some more what ifs. Judy, go ahead.
Well, do you want to say one, and then I'll try and answer it this time? No, so you can pick one from the list we had.
Remind me what's on the list.
Oh, that's why I can't find my list. What if we don't have the list?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Well, okay. So what if you are responsible for a child, which all parents are, and you have to go for a parent-teacher conference? How do you handle it?
Okay, so the first thing is, we have a lot to figure out here. If you, we have to know, are you close to the school? Is it within walking distance? Or are you going to need to arrange transportation? Is this a small child? So do you have to bring the child with you, because you're responsible for this child and you don't want to, or don't have a babysitter? And then you got to keep track of the child while you're having this tell-all session with the parent-teacher conference. So there are several things. A lot of times, you know, you want to have friends that you can count on to do some things. But if you're going to do that, remember, don't always be the one asking for something. Try to figure out what you can give back. So
if you want to say to your neighbor, you know, I got to go to the school for a conference, and I'm wondering, could you drop me off there, or could you pick me up, and then could you pick me up in a half hour or something? And I'd be happy to treat you to coffee, or I have some cookies that you might like, or if you're a sewer, you know, or we have some knitters in this group. Maybe you want to knit them a present if they do things for you on a regular basis. But always give back when you can, and people are probably a lot more willing to help you out.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. The other thing, of course, is if you have to pay for transportation, be sure that you schedule your ride so that you'll be there in plenty of time.
Yeah, yep. And we have to have a sense of humor about some things, you know, like the when we were talking about the restaurant, you know, sometimes if you can laugh at something or laugh with somebody, you know, you don't want to humiliate them, but you also want to be upfront about why they're being so silly and at least help them think a little bit.
Sure.
Linda has her hand up.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, we're here to be interrupted.
I asked her to unmute. I'm waiting to see if she does.
Do it quick. You're going to lose your opportunity. It'll go away.
Carol has her hand back up. Let's try Carol if Miss Linda can't get unmuted.
Okay, we'll take whoever gets unmuted first.
This is Carol.
Carol is unmuted.
Okay, go, Carol.
Well, I find usually if I do it in the right spirit, I can usually get help. But I have a problem. I have very acute intestinal bowel syndrome, so I have very strict diet instructions. So when a waitress approaches me, I say, well, first of all, I can't see. But secondly, I have IBS, and I was in probably a pretty nice restaurant. So, and I said, and in addition, I can't have anything that has garlic or onion in it. So this woman was telling me, you know, what I could have and so forth. And then somebody in the group said, I was ordering something. And I said, oh, that sounds good. And the waitress looked at me and she said, no, you can't have that, ma'am.
You asked for that one, Carol.
We all laugh so heartily. But, you know, I find if you do it with humor and with, I need some help. Could you help me? I would greatly appreciate it. It's a lot different than if you just, you know, if you're brusque and you're very dictatorial. You don't get nothing.
No, you're right.
And
people don't know. It isn't that they wouldn't want to do the right thing if they knew, but they don't understand. You may be the first blind person they have ever seen.
Miss Linda is now unmuted.
All right, Linda.
Yay. Hi. I just have a question about an interaction I just had with the bank earlier today. I don't have all the proficiency in the world with a computer. I'm just learning some of it. And I have some things that were online banking, like automatic withdrawals. And I called my branch, and I'm not going in anymore because of COVID. So it used to be that I would go into the branch, and they would help me. So I called the bank, and they asking for help on an 800 line to do something over the phone. And not only did they tell me that they would not do any such thing over the phone, but they said, well, the gentleman was actually rather rude. And the gentleman, and I asked to speak to the supervisor. They put me through to the supervisor. The supervisor said, no, 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 they would never do such a thing. I said, well, what about if there was a special code or something? Is there some way someone could help me over the phone? And then I asked to speak to his supervisor, and he said, they don't do that. They don't provide that information. And he would not send me an email with his name or his supervisor's name because that was a cybersecurity risk. And I'm like, what is this?
Without knowing what you were asking them to do, it's a little bit hard to deal with it. And I don't know whether we want to know because you got some top secret stuff here.
Apparently. It was just a question of stopping a regular withdrawal that was being made on my account. or and wanting to set up something on the phone so that in the future I could deal with somebody on the phone instead of having to go into the bank to deal with somebody.
Well, dealing with bank matters on 800 numbers now is beginning to be pretty common. Normally in that situation, however, they have a series of questions they can ask you and help you with most transactions. In the scenario that you just laid out, I would find the name and the contact information for the president of the company, and that president would hear from me directly, and I would demand some resolution to this issue.
Yeah, I mean, I was just shocked that they wouldn't even tell me the name of the supervisor in addition to...
No, I'm not asking for a supervisor. I said president.
The president
okay.
of the bank he's talking about. But the transaction that you want to stop, is that a company that you normally do business with and that you're supposed to either pay them or...
Yes, well, happily that was a series of payments that I actually finished paying, so I don't want to continue to pay them when I don't order anything.
Do you use someone to read your mail?
Well, see, that's the problem. Like the guy on the bank said, well, why don't you get somebody that you trust to read all of your banking information? And I really don't have anybody that I trust that I feel like, oh, yeah, why don't you read my banking information? And
but who reads your mail to you?
Well, that's somewhat problematic, but there's a couple of people that chip in sometimes.
Okay. Sometimes, you know, I don't know whether you can do this, if you can hire someone and you don't have to pay them a lot, but if you can pay them a little bit and you interview them, and sometimes it's better to have somebody that, let's see. Again, you could try a college student or something like that. Someone who doesn't know you is probably less likely to not only not care about what's in your, you know, bank, they're not going to talk about it. And you tell them that's one of the rules, and you can interview these people and see whether you get a good feeling about them, you know.
I have a couple of friends who are neighbors that, as I said, will contribute and help from time to time.
I don't mean, you don't want to do it with your friends and neighbors because they're looking at your banking stuff.
That's what
you don't want to do. But if you find someone that you have hired that you don't even know yet, it could be a law student, for instance. I don't know if your community has any law classes, but that might be the kind of person that you'd want to hire.
Don't include your whole.
We have about 8 minutes left, and we've got two or three hands raised.
One more hand.
One follow up on that is that most statements don't have your entire account number, so that is somewhat protection for you in case you want to have some people read those statements.
I didn't know that.
Miss Shelley is unmuted.
Hi, this is Shelley Koppel. And the idea that I would have on this banking thing might be my husband and I have used a service that we have found out about called care.com, CARE.com. And if there's any way that you would have anybody that could go on that website and find a volunteer, express what your interest is, to have a reader that could do reading. These people are vetted. They are go through a security check and all this stuff so that you would not have to worry about your information being stolen from you or anything. The ones we have used are college students. They've been very delightful young ladies to work with. And you just, you know, it again, if you can pay them something or if you could work out a, you know, maybe a gift certificate to somewhere. I mean, I don't know if they all, I don't think they expect a fee for it, but you could check that out when you sign up for care.com. And that is really, it was nice to us to know that they had a background check. And so you could trust who you were getting.
Wow, okay. I never heard.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Did we have another hand?
Nope. That's all of them, and it's about almost 5 till, so your timer should be getting ready to go off.
It should be.
Yep.
Someone's going to get a big problem that we never heard about I know, and they're going to do it just as this alarm's going to go off. And we want to give people a last chance. You know, there is no reason why we have to do this until 4. If we've answered everybody's questions, what the heck? Oh, there she goes. Alexa, stop.
You're not doing it till 4. It's 5 Eastern time.
That's right.
That's true, but it's...
Now we got some hands.
Oh, of course.
We have Carol's hand is up.
Let's see who else is... Is that Carol who's already...
Yes.
Yeah, is there anyone who hasn't had a chance first?
No.
And then we'll...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes?
Just Carol, no. And I still have Diane's hand up because that way we can still see that she's at the top.
Oh, okay.
And she said, well, you said she could stay unmuted, so...
Oh, yeah, that part's fine, but I want to know if anyone hasn't had a chance to speak that's seeking that opportunity. There isn't.
I just have a quick
question. Oh, go ahead,
question.
Carol. Sure.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
You keep talking about Alexa. Does Siri do the same thing Alexa does?
Not some of the same thing, but not...
Some things, but not all.
Right. Yeah.
Because Siri does a lot of things for me, and in fact, once in a while, I get mad and I mumble something or probably say it like a curse, and Siri says, repeat, please, and I repeat it, and she does it.
Oh, well, that's good. She probably, you know, I don't have an iPhone, so I don't use her in the same way my sister does, though, and sometimes if we don't like the answer we got from one of them, we go to the other one.
Oh. That's all.
Thank you. All right, Glenn, do you have any last words or thoughts? Or
well, I just hope, once again, that people have found a thing or two that might be helpful to them, and I hope maybe they've tried them out, and if they haven't, that they will soon. Most of the things we have discussed require some practice. If we're talking about skills, now some of these problem solving things, that's what we are doing, is trying to give you a lot of different suggestions, different approaches to resolve a problem. And, there's no one solution. There's no one perfect way, but nonetheless, I hope that everyone has found something here that's beneficial to you. And I appreciate everybody's participation.
Thank you. Diane, do you want to say anything?
Well, the thing I learned today, I never heard of care.com.
I didn't either. I love that.
I do, too, and I'm going to try it. I like that. Actually, my banking, I've learned how to do, I can get a lot of information just by entering different numbers on my phone. But I don't know if all banks have that. That's just the bank
I
use.
And I know that sometimes there are things they won't do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So they want a signature before they'll do it or something. And
well,
then they have to mail
a lot of it is security for the bank itself. And I understand that, too. You know, they don't have to, I don't know. Anyway, a lot of it is security.
Thank you. Ruth, do you have anything else?
Well, I just want to thank everybody, all of our speakers, our presenters, our lead instructors, all of you attendees, all of you retreat attendees. I hope that, as Glenn said, you found this some things beneficial. And even if you've heard things you already knew before, sometimes it just reinforces, oh, what I'm doing is okay. You know, it says I'm on the right track here. And that sometimes we just need that, too. One other last resource I would just mention that we haven't talked a lot about because it varies across the country, but every state does have departments on aging, and they're usually set up according to the county. So that might be a resource if you are having some special problems or situations. Don't overlook your departments on aging because they're there. They're supposed to be there to give service to people in that county. So they may or may not be able to help you solve your problem, but again, if we don't address to them some of the issues that we might have, then they aren't going to help us find solutions by services or other things because they won't think of them. So we have to bring some of them to our attention. Some they might know about, but it is another resource that we sometimes overlook.
Okay, thank you. And special thanks today to Abby and Jerry. You guys were great.
Thank you.
The whole week has gone really well. And I guess we'll come back tomorrow, huh, Ruth?
I hope so. So some of you, yes. tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central, 11 Mountain, 10
Pacific.
Pacific, thank you. I couldn't think of it.